How important is our community's participation in research?
Oh man, that's a question of the day,
right?
I mean, I'm gonna just start off by saying it's immeasurable.
Okay,
it's immeasurable.
Okay,
right? Because you think about how research is conducted. We take a population of people. Well, honestly, first we start with animals, right? Mm-hmm. And we analyze what is the effect with this condition. What happens to this population? How does it impact them? Now, if we introduce this treatment, what does this treatment do to this particular population,
right,
with this particular condition? Okay. So you step back and you think about it. If this group of people, this population of people, is not engaged in research, is not engaged in clinical trials, we never know what the impact of these treatments and these trials are going to be on them until they're brought into the global field.
Okay.
And then I like to say we are active guinea pigs, right? We don't have any preliminary trials or testing that show, hey, this drug works just as good in West African people as it does in European people.
Okay.
This drug works just as good in African American people in the East Coast as it does in Jamaican people. That data doesn't exist. That population isn't included in those trials, isn't included in that research. We don't know what the impact is until we're actually given that drug real time. And who knows if you're going to be somebody who ends up with that cancer that needs that treatment, that went through clinical trials where only a specific race or ethnicity of people were tested because they were the ones who came forward and said, I want to be part of this research.
I think if there's anything to be said about participating in a research trial, I think it gives the person ownership that were part of bringing this, you know, to this messaging for a community. You know, the same thing goes for people of color, for even things like tissue donations and so forth. Mm-hmm. We don't do well in participating for things like bone marrow transplants. Oh, yeah. And so forth. And so if you're talking about drugs and, you know, doing all this high tech care and, you know, there are going to be variations in how drugs are processed, how drugs are broken down based on this broad swath of population, mm-hmm. and you're missing this big chunk, then you're just not getting the most accurate result at the end of the day.
Thank you for that. I think it's really, really important to explain the factors that we are all familiar with, mm-hmm. you know, just, you know, culturally, mm-hmm. that lend to why it's so important that we participate, discussing or mentioning pre-existing health conditions that we're all familiar with, mm-hmm. within the Black community. Like you said, diabetes, high blood pressure, different things just that have unfortunately become associated with Black life. Mm-hmm.
If you think about phase three, where you're trying to get a broad demographic of folks to see how does this drug work in a population, and folks of color are not in phase three trials, where you may have people who identify as Caucasian and they're like 70-80% of the research, you are not getting a broad swath of folks. And so the conclusions that you may get from your trial may skew in a direction that is not representative of the entire population. Mm-hmm. And especially if you're talking about a disease process that affects Black folks, white folks, more than one. And so it's really important to make sure that there's representation. I know that a lot of new trials are now a rule, which rightly so, to make sure that there is representation, of especially folks of color, to sort of participate in the trials. But again, getting people to the table in the first place to participate, especially when you say research, it's like, oh, you're not going to get research on me.
You're not going to turn me into a guinea pig.
Exactly. Right. Exactly.
With the direction that research is going right now, what are some of the things that we could use in conversations, some of the points that we could use in conversations with people in our community that we would like to convince to participate? You know, despite, you know, some of the historical reasons why we wouldn't want to participate in research.
Yeah, it's a very complex issue, right? Like one of it is, I would say, it's the question of trust with the medical community, with the scientific community and research community. And now more so than any other time, I think we need to engage with each other as scientists and researchers and physicians we need to engage and share what we know, and also honestly acknowledge what we don't know, because it's more about a conversation where we've seen, even with COVID, the reason why science was very successful with COVID was because of buy-in from everyone, from nurses, pharmacists, you know, public health people, people who went out and gave all the shots, and then the community members that convinced their family and friends, and the communications people who had such a great campaign of convincing their listeners and audience that this is an important thing.
Yeah.
So science only goes halfway. I think the rest need to contribute, and we need to like push this idea that we need to collectively solve these problems. I think that's one of the major goals, is that right now, for example, in clinical trials that test these immunotherapies that I talked about, the number of African-American participants in clinical trials has been low. I mean, historically, there are a lot of reasons why, but one of the things we would love to see more is learn how different these therapies are going to be in different communities. Just this morning, I was reading a new study that came out that said some of these immunotherapies don't work as well in people of color, in Asians, in African Americans, compared to people with European ancestry.
Okay.
Because the way we've been collecting all this data, like the human genome sequence and all of this genetic mutation data, the population that we've been collecting this information from is predominantly Caucasian.
Right.
Predominantly of European ancestry. And so it's like, you know, we are viewing the world with a very different lens and drawing all of these conclusions, but we are missing out on things that may actually be beneficial across all populations. So we can't really reach that point without having participation from all communities. So I think that's something, you know, it's a give and take. There's a dialogue that is like earning the trust of the community and answering all questions as honestly as possible. So some of the onus is on us to like say, you know, come and talk to people and see like, this is what we are doing.
Right.
Please let us know what bothers you. How can we, you know, address the questions? And sometimes there are going to be things we can't really address to everyone's satisfaction.
Right.
And
right.
But there is a point, I think, where we can all meet in the middle. I'm hopeful that over the next 5 to 10 years, we are going to have better opportunities because we have a lot more participation from all communities and communities of color, particularly in these clinical trials. I'm a firm believer that if you're embedded and you see the process, you trust it more. If you're curious and interested and you are excited by science, come talk to us. Spend some time in a research lab. We promise you, we're not going to convert you into, you know, oh, you're going to go to medical school or you're going to go into a surgeon.
Right.
But a general awareness of what scientists do might be helpful in the long run. It doesn't matter. You end up in government. You end up as a, you know, maybe you end up again as a football player. You know more about concussions because you spent some time in the lab. You saw how cells are grown in a lab. So you understand some of the things. You understand not to believe everything that shows up in a Facebook or Instagram feed. So some awareness of science is really good. So if you're a high school student, if you're an undergraduate, and if you're interested in science, if you're curious, what do these folks at universities do? How do they make these vaccines? How do they make these drugs? Come talk to us. Come visit us. Come spend some time in the building. We are happy to share, and we are happy to answer any questions. And we are happy to learn from you because you bring your life experiences.
Right.
You bring your perspectives. And then we can be like, oh my God, we've been advertising in the wrong place all the time.
Okay.
Or we've been talking to the wrong people all the time.
Or using the wrong language and the wrong terminology.
Yeah. Okay. Because sometimes it might be as simple as like telling, you know, a high school senior, like, you should really tell your grandmother that there is no hidden thing in the vaccine. And that might be, you know, good enough because maybe there's a powerful motivation listening from a family member yeah. as opposed to like, absolutely. You know, a doctor or a scientist or someone on a radio show. So feel okay. free to reach out to us and engage with us. And we are happy to learn and we are happy to teach you in return.